This is an ABC podcast.
It's time to get out and about in the garden with Rowanna and Sabrina here on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Five past nine. Good morning to you, wherever you are listening around Western Australia this morning, or in fact, of course, from other parts of the state, the country, the world, through the ABC Listen app. A special hello to you too. We are not only broadcasting from Perth, we are also broadcasting from Kalgoorlie this morning. Sabrina Hahn, hello.
Well, hello, Ro. Here I am in the goldfields.
In the goldfields. Is the goldfields still standing? Those
Absolutely.
Old buildings haven't fallen over and you haven't you haven't been kicked out yet?
Not yet. No. I've got invites for dinner every night that I'm here. And by the time I finish working, I'm so stuffed. I'm in bed by 7:30.
Oh.
So
just take names and numbers for our bus tour, you know?
We can just
add them to the itinerary. Take a little swing out wide.
It's so lovely being back here. You know, Kalgoorlie people are so lovely. They're so welcoming, so friendly. Fair bit of interest in the garden. The word has got out that I'm doing the gardens here. So a few people have popped over.
So it's more of a display village now.
I've saved all the plant tag names so people say, oh, what's that? I just give them the tag.
Look at you doing free consults in the community.
But it's great. I've got a fabulous team. Jess is down. She's down for the count today.
Not well.
So
it's not self-inflicted, was it?
No. I think she's just got a head cold.
Oh, no, that's awful.
But I've got my mate Naeem. And you guess what? Guess who's working for me? I have a professional dancer that's digging holes for me.
Wow,
Jonathan. He teaches dance up here in Kalgoorlie. So I said to Jonathan, I'm hoping that you'll teach us a few moves.
Oh.
You know, during the put down the shovel and pick up your dancing partner, because he does all that. He's from Colombia.
Oh.
So he does all, so he does all that really kind of sexy
stuff. Oh, you can bring that back to Perth.
You wait
back
till
to the studios.
See my new moves. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, dear. Sabrina Hahn, if you've got a question for her, 1300 222 720 is the number. As always, we've got a couple of open lines, so you can jump on the phone and get your question through to Sab. As always, the text 0437 922 720. And my favourite email address for you all, perthweekends, all one word, all lowercase. There's an S on the end of weekends. So it's perthweekends@your.abc.net.au. If you need that email address, I encourage you just to give Mickey a call
the producer
on 1300 222 720, and she will be able to tell you that. We'll kick off, though, with some texts, I reckon, this morning, Sammy.
Why not, Ro? Let's do some work.
Who will I pick? Ali. We'll go with Ali. Hello, gardening girls. I have no spud action. Planted seed potatoes weeks ago with lots of ease and have nothing above the ground. Is there still hope in Frio, says Ali?
Well, yes, Ali, there certainly is. Sometimes it can take a while for seed potatoes to shoot. So now Perth has had a few cold mornings, not as cold as Kalgoorlie, I have to say. Now, some people plant their seed potatoes too low. So what you need to do, Ali, is go and have a little dig and dig a couple of potatoes up and see if they've got any eyes that are shooting. If not, you've buried your potatoes too deep. You might need to, and you've still got time to lift them should you need to.
Okay. There you go, Ali. Thank you, Sab. Morning, ladies. I have possums and other fluffy troublemakers eating my brassicas and leafy greens. Oh. What's your recommendation for a natural shoo away, says Jay in Bicton.
Well, Jay, rats will definitely be eating your leafy greens. Certainly caterpillars will be chomping. I had nothing left of mine. Gone. After a week, it was just this little dead stick. So you can use a natural bacteria spray for caterpillars. For possums, possums seem to eat through most things. So I don't like your chances there. But what you can do, if you've got leafy greens, you can get sticks of wood and you can paint them with fennel, which is the bin cleaner.
Okay.
Because they hate the smell of that. And you can stick those around, you just push them into the garden bed. And that works as a deterrent as well. The other thing you can, because possums are vegetarian, if you sprinkle blood and bone around the place, the smell of dead animal they don't like.
Okay.
So you can sprinkle blood and bone around. And that'll be good for your leafy greens as well.
Very good. All right, let's head to the first of our callers for this morning. Ross is in Yokine. Good morning, Ross.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the program. Welcome back, Joseb.
My pleasure.
I hope you're enjoying Kalgoorlie.
I am, actually.
Good, good. Seb, I know you love citrus questions.
I do. I've been pining for them.
Yes. I've got lime, lemon and kaffir lime trees and kumquat trees. And I had to prune them all back very severely. I think I might have spoken to you earlier about this.
Citrus gall wasp. No?
Partly, yes. Yep. I was hospitalised and nobody looked after them, so they died. But they're all sprouting again, and I've got some, but I have had buds on the lime tree, and they're forming fruit. And I've been told I shouldn't fertilise them at this time of the year. Is that right?
Well, the thing is, Ross, yours are now reshooting. So they've had a bit of a tough time. They're trying to put on growth and fruit for you. So I would give them just a small amount of fertiliser, Ross, a granular fertiliser, but just no more than half a handful per plant, because it might be enough just to boost them along to hang on to the fruit.
And is that a specialist citrus fertiliser, Sabrina?
You can get specialist citrus fertiliser, Ross. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that. Half a handful. Yep.
Yep. Thanks, Ross.
Good on you, Ross. Verna is in Cal.
She's got
a question. Verna, Sab is in the gardens of an accommodation complex on Davidson Street.
Yes.
If you're looking to go and have a look where she is and what she's doing, that will probably be enough, I reckon, if you're a local.
I think so. Bring a spade, please. There will be no free advice without digging a hole.
Scones.
You know what we've found, Ro. So, you know, when you do a garden plan, because this is a massive job, like it's the whole hotel I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you have to plan everything down to the last plant, because you've got to get them all sent up from Perth, right?
Right.
So I had this, so the front entrance, I was going to do this really big, ta-da, welcome to Kalgoorlie, West Australian plant palette, big trees were going in. What did we find? A bitumen road.
Oh, stop it.
So where was going to put these big trees? We dug down and we found not only the bitumen road, but we found all the prep stuff, the cement underneath that. So short of getting a jackhammer and jackhammering through all the services that come into the hotel, I just went, change of plan there.
Just make sure you die before you dig, okay?
Oh, no, no, we've got all that. So we know we're not going anywhere near there with a jackhammer, I can tell you right now. So if people are wondering, oh, the very small plants at the very front there. That's because I've only got 30 centimetres of soil to grow in.
Oh, dear. I hope those trees are finding another home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're just, you know, you just move. You just have to be flexible in landscaping. That's how it is.
Good stuff. Let's head to Ivy, who's in Double View. Hello, Ivy.
Good morning, all. I just have a query. Somewhere in the back of my mind, Sabrina, I heard that cyclamen should be put out at night. They're indoor plants. I have two beauties.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering whether they should, to get the best out of them, put them out overnight.
Yes. And the reason for that, Ivy, is cyclamen like a cold night. So you will get better. You will get better flowering, but they like the warmth in the day. So when cyclamen go dormant, though, you leave them outside the whole time. Tip the pot on its side so it doesn't get water. So you're right, Ivy. So you can pop them out at night and remember to bring them back in the morning.
Okay, thanks. So long as I don't have to do the same thing, I'll be fine. Okay. Thank you.
Definitely not, Ivy. Keep yourself in at night and out in the day, the opposite.
Good advice. Thanks, Sabrina. Enjoy your morning.
Thanks, Ivy. Thank you.
Oh, good on you, Ivy. 1300 222 720 if you've got a question for Sab. Sarah is in Kalamunda. Hi, Sab and Ro. How do I know when Billadeira seeds are ripe for propagation? The pods seem to go mushy instead of drying off. Any tips for propagating?
Okay, so with those particular seed pods, so they're the ones, you know, Ro, they're called not the native wisteria, the bluebell creeper, the WA bluebell creeper. And it has these really lovely little tiny pods and they sort of go purple. Now, with those, to prevent them from going mushy, you need to pick them when they just start to change colour, put them in a paper bag, bring them inside, and that's where they'll dry off. Because as soon as you get moisture there, you will get all that mushy sort of seed coating on it. So pick them. They're the one plant that you pick before they are completely dry and brown, because they go sort of mushy instead of dry and brown. So as soon as it looks like they're drying off, pick them, paper bag, inside. They'll take probably about 2 weeks to open up, and then you can propagation. You want them in a really sharp sand mix, so a bit like beach sand that's got a bit of cocoa peat in it, and don't sow them until spring.
Okay. Lovely. Jill's down in Esperance. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning, Jill.
Keeping nice and warm, are we?
Well, yeah.
Some
I'm
of us more than others.
I look like someone that's entering Siberia when I get up in the morning. I have the only part of my body exposed is my face. That's it.
Yes, I know that feeling. Sabrina, I have a large bird's nest fern that in my patio that hangs out over a fish pond, and it's got white fly. And I don't know what to spray it with. That's not going to damage the fish.
Yeah, okie dokie. So the so you can use a natural potassium soap spray.
Right.
So if you go to, well, they even have it in hardware stores. So there is a, if you look for a, one product is in a packet and one product is in a liquid form, and it'll have something like natural insecticide in it, but it's made from potassium soap and that won't harm the fish.
Okay.
That will knock off your white fly.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Thanks,
my pleasure, Jill.
Okay, have a nice day, ladies. Bye.
We're going to go a little bit further around the coast to Albany now. Hello, Jackie.
Yes, good morning. How are you ladies going?
Good.
Very well.
That's good. Yep.
How can we help you, Jackie?
What can we do?
Yeah, sorry. Sabrina, I've been trying to locate a Shiro plum tree. It's one of the Japanese ones, and they
Japanese
are beautiful
ones, yeah.
Yellow flesh, beautiful eating. The juice runs down your arms. I have tried about 14 places already in the Perth area, and I'm just drawing a blank every single time with it.
Okay. Now, there is... I'm just going to write a little note to my producer so that she can give you this information. So if you like to just stay online.
Yes.
I'll just put you back on hold, Jackie, and then Sabrina's just going to give some instructions to Mickey, and with the magic of how this all connects, Mickey will be able to talk to you and pass on the message that Sab isn't able to give you on air because she needs to give you some names. So thank you, Jackie, very much for your call. What are we, 20 past nine here on Roots and Shoots?
Gardening with Rowanna and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
We're about 10 minutes away from Sab's pick of the week for this week. You got us a banger up your sleeve, Sabby?
Well, I do believe, well, yeah. Well, so it's a kind of a laid back tune, but nevertheless, you know, it's what I listen to when I finish work at the end of the day and there's a bottle of red. I put this little tune on just as I'm cooking dinner and just makes me go, oh. I could, once I know my fantastic Colombian dance moves, I'll be able to dance to this as well, Ro.
Oh, boy, make sure you stay listening to that.
I'll get Jess to video it.
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, that's the go, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Multimedia and all that, you know, we like to be across all platforms.
Absolutely, we do.
Catherine's in Melville. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi. I've got a question. I'm planting a pea and bean garden with my 9-year-old granddaughter, Sophia, just to show her how it all works.
Yeah.
But something I needed for my Michael Mosley diet, which I won't say how it's going, was edamame.
Say how it's going.
It has been moderately successful there sometimes. But I need edamame beans, which I understand are some kind of soy. I can only get frozen Chinese ones in the shops. I do not want those. I can't source them any. I can't source seeds. They don't seem to be crops grown in Australia, and I would love to get hold of some seeds if I could.
There are crops grown in Australia, and the reason that you can't get edamame bean, well, that particular soy, we do grow soybeans in Australia, but they're under very strict quarantine regulations, so I doubt very much whether you could get any online anyway. There's two places I want you to look at. One of them is, well, I can't give you names, but I'm going to give you a hint, all right? So one of them is to do with the Garden of Eden. And the other one is, because I've seen them on their plant list.
Catherine, do you enjoy cryptic crosswords?
I wonder if Adam's there as well, but anyway, yes.
And the other one is if you like digging. I tell you what, I'm going to write it up on the screen for dear Mickey, and she can give you those two cryptic messages in an easier way.
All right, I'll put you back on hold, Catherine. Thanks so much. We're on fire this morning.
I just realised I can write all sorts of stuff to you girls.
Yeah, you really can.
The general public don't know.
No, they don't. Our own special little message board. But no one likes in-house jokes. So
no, I know.
We'll keep you all included at home, I promise.
That's right. But it's, you know, it's a way of me helping people while I'm remote.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're providing a service. It's super important. Let's go to Jackie. Jackie's in Carlisle. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi. Hi, Sabrina. I'm hoping you may be able to help me, except I just realised I haven't sent through a photo. My brother, who lives in, I don't know if you know Sydney very well, but on the North Shore. He spent thousands putting in this fantastic garden and then put in this huge, bloody great big grass tree, which he kept in a pot because he wasn't sure what to do with it. He kept it in a pot for a while and then thought, all right, well, now I'll plant it out. And apparently he said he went by everything. He had a huge, great big hole, then put it in there and put all this organic stuff around it, and now it's just so dying.
I
it's
think
all
he may
green.
Have been...
It's all yellow.
Right. Oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Now, and it's I would suggest he's put too much good stuff in there.
Oh, right. So it doesn't need good stuff.
No. What is important is to keep the... So this is still... It's in Sydney, yeah?
Yeah. On the North Shore, yeah.
So he would have got a New South Wales... species of grass tree.
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Yeah. He would have, otherwise it would cost him a fortune in freight. Now, if you put too much compost and nutrient in there, they don't like it. So
right.
I would suggest it's changed the pH of the soil, for one thing, and there's too much nutrient in there.
Yeah.
It's either that or the other thing it can be, he's given it too much water.
Well, that's the only thing is when he put it in, it was put in last and they had all that rain. And now he's not watering it, but they had all of that rain, which was absolutely huge at the end of last year.
Yeah, I'd say it's a water issue. Now, what he can do, well, the only thing he can do is to go and get some, you can buy mycorrhizal fungi. So mycorrhizal fungi is vitally important for grass trees. So
right.
The wet weather may have killed off some of that fungi and now it's introduced a fungi that you don't want. So tell him to go to a nursery, not a hardware store. Talk to someone in a nursery that knows about the grass trees there. And ask if he can get some fungi to put into the soil. That's
right.
About the only thing he's going to be able to do.
Okay. Rightio, some fungi. Some micro what? Yeah.
Mycorrhizal.
Okay.
Mycorrhizal. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, too, that it has got a shoot, like it was having a flower at the top. That's obviously gone all dead. Does he take that off or does he leave it on?
No, don't touch it. Just leave it on.
Oh, right.
You don't want any open wounds in it at this point in time, so just leave that spike on it. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right then. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good
and
stuff,
good luck,
Jackie.
Yeah. Thanks very much for giving us a call. Laura is in Nanup. She's also sent us a picture, which we've got. Laura, fire away.
Hi, morning, Sab and Ro.
Morning, Laura.
I've got a couple of eucalypts, Rosia and a Silver Princess, and they were going really well. We got a groundwater bore installed, and to deal with the excess pressure, we had a sprinkler, and we put a lot of water in the area where those two are.
Yeah.
And now they've got quite a bit of black spot and maybe some other pests have taken hold. I had a go with a copper fungicide. It looked like it was getting worse and I got scared and decided to call in for some advice. We're hoping we can save them because they were gifts from friends.
Oh, Laura. Okay, so the soil in Nanup holds the water quite well. Have you done a test on the water? Do you know the quality of the water?
It's not too salty. The salt level's pretty good, but there has been a bit of a smell, so it could have some of the iron bacteria coming through.
That's not going to affect the plants too much. It's more the pH, if the pH is acidic or alkaline. I can't increase the photo to look at what the black spots are, but look, I say that and my wish is my command. Oh, you've got You've got little beetles on there too. They'll start chewing the leaves, by the way.
There's lots
anyway,
going on.
Yeah. Now, that black spot, that does look like a fungus rather than a pest. So I, rather than copper, I would go to a lime sulfur spray. And then it's going to be a matter of trying to reduce the watering. Is that possible?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, the sky is not really helping much at the moment, but
No, that's true.
We haven't. We have stopped the watering for the last couple of months.
Yeah, because what happens with the, you know, when you get a lot of water, you get a lot of that fresh, beautiful new growth. And so I'm looking at that. I think it's a weevil, not a beetle. And that's when fungal diseases can hook in. Also, it's wet and cold. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, because most eucalypts will get that at some point in time. But you could spray. I just do one tree with the lime sulfur and see if it helps. If not, there's no point in using it. But if you reduce the your bore watering for a while until all that growth hardens up.
Yeah. And anything with the little weevils?
They're very difficult to control. But you can spray with pyrethrum.
Okay.
With a pyrethrum spray or a pyrethrum's more effective than an oil for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
And keep an eye on those numbers of the weevils or beetles, because you can't blow it up. It'll be blurry. If they've got sort of like a little snout, they're a weevil. If they've got chewing mouth parts, they're a beetle. And the beetles will have wings.
Okay.
But pyrethrum will sort both of them out anyway.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Sab. It's just about that time, so we better... You know what? We better do it now.
Oh, let's do it.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this. Here we go now.
All right, Sab, now that you're prepared, surely you can give it a better intro than, you know,
I
caught you off guard 10 minutes ago.
Oh, you know me so well, Ro, so well. Okay, so this is Cumberland Gap, this song by David Rawlings. And now, soon there will be Colombian dance moves to this song. So I want all of our listeners just to imagine getting home from work, opening a bottle of red, preparing a meal, because you're not dancing at that point in time. But then you put the knife and the chopping board down and you get your hips going and you just ease into the evening.
All right, take a listen. This is Sab's pick of the week. We look forward to your feedback on the other side. We'll also get to plenty of your texts. And Chris, Sandy and Carl, stay on the line. We'll get to your calls as well. It's 27 away from 10. There we go. Sab's pick of the week for another week. The initial feedback's looking good, Sab.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yep. Glenn in Parkerville. Bit of a Neil Young sound to it, Sab. Great choice.
Very much.
Tony in Vic
Neil
Park.
Young.
Sabrina, great choice. Love this song. It's the opening tune to the movie The Gentleman, he tells us.
Oh,
so there
I
you
haven't
go.
Seen that movie.
Janine in Spearwood says it's a bit early for a glass of red, but I'm loving this track with my morning latte. Great taste. You've got lots of love hearts, a hands clapping and a cheers champagne glasses emoji from Nola in Bunbury.
Woo!
So, yeah, I think it's fair to say the early indicators are that our listeners enjoyed it. If you don't have the 720 ABC Perth or ABC Radio WA text number in your phone, then it is 0437 922 720. That's the number you need to give your feedback or, of course, ask a gardening question. Very Fleetwood Mac, Sabrina. Nah.
It is. Well, on that album, that particular album, there's a bit of Fleetwood Mac. There's all the stuff from that era, which goes to show how old I am.
Kevin, like Tony, has called in and mentioned it being the title track from The Gentleman. He said he's off to go watch that now.
Ah. It's meant to be a really good good movie.
Yeah, there we go. 2019 action comedy film written and directed and produced by Guy Ritchie. Have to check it out. Maybe
we will.
That will be almost too much sport on, but maybe at some point I'll be able to slip a movie on. Good choice, Sab. Good choice, Sab. We'll keep pick of the week. Got a bit of Hey Nonny Nonny electric folk rock about it. Bit like early Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
There we go.
People are on the money.
They really are.
They've nailed it.
Yeah,
I reckon.
They have. Speaking of nailing things, Chris Parry. Yes. Who talks to us on ABC Perth every week. We go on little travel adventures with him between 8:30 and 9. He was on a little adventure during the week looking in secondhand bookshops, and he has walked out with this little doozy. It's called Sabrina's Little ABC Book of Gardening with this glorious photograph of you in a wheelbarrow. On the front, just smiling with your little hat on. Yes. The best bit is the original price tag's still on the back. It would have set you back $19.95 at its original price. Cash or FPOS at the secondhand bookshop. Chris Parry got his hands on it for the bargain basement price of $5. Still holding its value, Sabrina.
Well, that is so good to know. He's a man of taste.
He is. I thought I'd go through and have a little look. The foreword written by Josh Byrne, you know, getting endorsements from all the big names.
Well, that's it.
And then not another bloody lemon tree question. I'm just checking. That's the heading of the first section, page 12. I'm just looking through the list of callers we've got banked just to see if there's not another bloody lemon tree lemon question, because I'll just post them this book and we can move on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Nope, looks like they're all looking to talk to us about other things. So.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Let's move on then, Rogue.
If anyone, you know, we could probably throw it in amongst our prize pack, you know.
I reckon.
One day when I don't know, do something to give something away. Yep. Not what we normally do, but hey, we can do that.
I'll fiddle with the pages first.
You might even put an autograph in there or something.
I'll autograph them for sure.
Rhino the Driller tells us there's even gardening in the Gentleman movie as well. So ticking across all the boxes. Yep.
Gonna have to watch it.
Yeah, we will. We will. All right, let's go back to your calls. Chris is in South Frio. Hello.
Good morning, ladies. I hope you can help me, Sabrina. I live in South Fremantle. I have two garden beds about 3.5 metres by 1 metre long. Nothing has ever really grown well in it, despite adding so many things to the soil. They don't get any sun, maybe 6 inches in the summer. I've had Nadine, you know, wanted that sort of look of a little hedge, but anyway, it didn't work. So we're thinking of replacing all the soil, and we're wondering how far would we have to dig down, considering we'll probably hit limestone. What do we need to put into the beds, like bentonite clay or whatever, and what plants do you think would grow to give a nice sort of lush green look to it?
So it's quite shady, isn't it?
Yes, very.
Okay, so you're going to, depending on what you're going to put in, so you're probably on cap rock limestone there. So you're going to need to dig down at least 40 centimetres, or you need 40 centimetres of really good healthy soil. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to remove the soil, Chris, I'm going to write in now. I'm going to tell you what you need to get. So you need to, even though it's called a veggie mix, It you can grow anything in it. It's just that I know how alkaline the soil in South Frio is. So I'm going to give this to Mickey, who will now be having to do a lot of talk back after the show. So 30 centimetres deep. Now, there is a plant that is it's glossy, lush green, but the new tips go a little bit burgundy. Is that all right?
Yeah, fantastic. That's why I had the Nadine blush. I like the colour.
No, Nadine blush is the Nadines are really quite difficult to grow. So I would go Royena, R-O-Y-E-N-A. Royena. And then there is a Euronymus called Tom Thumb.
Tom Thumb, okay.
So Euronymus as in E-U-R-O-N-Y-M-O-S. Tom Thumb. That's a dwarf one, but you can get a taller one. So, so there's three different Euronymus that would grow there as well.
Okay.
And then the only other thing are box, but they are there's a fungal disease ripping through all the box in Perth at the moment, so I would steer clear of that.
Okay, that's the English one, is it? I looked up the box.
Well, there's the Korean, the Japanese, the English. I think the Royena would look really good, and it's tight and compact and tough.
Thanks, Sab. Chris, I'm going to put you on hold. Mickey will give you some extra additional information there to help you out. Angie sent us a text about your book, Sab. Still my favourite go-to book. It's brilliant, she says. There you go.
Thank you, Angie.
My Reed says, The Gentleman, great film. You'll see Hugh Grant in a completely different light. He actually acts.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, me too. Ed in Wembley Downs, Sab, morning. Looks like earwigs are living in the base of my rose bush. It's looking pretty sick. Best way to get rid of earwigs.
Okay. So when – remember someone rang in and we were talking about earwigs and they made a solution of Vegemite and water and they reckon it knocked all the earwigs off.
Oh, there we go. There's an option for you, Ed.
Try that. Give that a crack.
Okay, and let us know how it goes. That's the important bit.
You could even make Vegemite sandwiches and put them down around the base of the rose bush. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Again,
anyway,
let us know.
Try the Vegemite water.
Okay. Steve in Albany writes, Hi, Sabrina. Have newly planted ornamental pears last year. First time they have dropped their leaves. Should we prune the lower branches to encourage growth and how much should we prune them if so?
They're only a year old. You could definitely take under prune them. Do not touch anything else though. So you can take off a few, like two of the lowest branches. Don't touch anything else until the second year.
All right, couple more pruning ones. Hi, Roe and Sabrina. Should I prune my mango tree now? Says Ian in Bull Creek.
No, because it's wet and cold.
Okay.
So the mango is not going to enjoy being pruned at this time of the year, but you can prune it at the end of March.
Okay.
March, April.
Ian's got, the fruit ripen in Feb, March. No sign of flowers or new growth. Not sure variety. 4 metres high and 5 wide. Yeah. Leave it alone?
Just leave it during winter.
Okay. And one more. There was another one here on pruning. I've got a small flowering plum tree that needs a prune, says Erin in North Perth. How do I go about it?
Do not prune your flowering plum now because you are going to be pruning off all the flowering wood. So you prune the flowering plums and flowering peaches when they've finished flowering, which is usually about November. So prune in November, beginning of November.
All right, beautiful. Let's go to Bernadette from Bunbury, who has got her hands on the brand new Kings Park Grevillea. Hello to you, Bernadette.
Good morning, ladies. Yes, I was so excited last week after the show. I just happened to pop to a certain store and it was right in front of me and I squealed like a child. It was ridiculous.
Oh, my God, that's so great.
I texted my friend. Oh, my God. I was very excited.
Ah, that's wonderful.
It's very exciting. It's gorgeous. The leaves are so different. I was away for a few weeks and I had a beautiful moonlight gravilla that cacked it while I was gone. And then my spirit of Anzac's looking very sorry for itself. So I really want to make sure I look after this newbie.
Okay.
And I just was looking for some advice, please.
Yep. Okay. So you're in Bernadette Bunbury. Now, the Bulu Moon, remember that's what it's called, the Bulu Moon. Now, if are you on a ball?
We are, but I know you said they don't like that. So I've been watering them with regular,
Okay, great. So what you need is a little bit of compost because you've got that delightful sand. So you need a little bit. So in a wheelbarrow, put in half a bag of compost and three cups of clay.
Yep.
Mix that together with some the mineral fertilizer. So you need just half a cup of mineral fertilizer.
Okay.
Mix all that together and then you're going to mix that as a 50-50 mix with the gutless Bunbury sand. So that's how you're going to plant
it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Is there any chance I can save my little spirit of Anzac?
Well, if you make sure it's not getting the bore water now. And that mix that I've given you, Bernadette, if you dig a little trench around the base, not too deep, you only need to go down like 10 centimetres, make a little moat around the spirit of Anzac and then put that in and then use it as a mulch on top as well, then that should kick it along pretty well.
Thank you, Bernadette. Sorry, I didn't realise I'd closed your fader there, Bernadette, so we all had that awkward silence. Good luck with that. We're going to head straight to Carl, who's in Byford and has been waiting patiently. Hey, Carl.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning, Carl.
We've got a question for a friend. We've got chickens running around the yard where we were advising him for helping some of the trees and whatever along. To use this this new butte stuff, relatively new, with all the minerals and probiotics, soil probiotics, and all that sort of business. How compatible is that with the chooks?
Absolutely no problem whatsoever for your chickens, and in fact would probably do them more good than anything. So it's not won't harm your chickens, dogs, cats, donkeys, horses, elephants, whatever you've got in your backyard. No harm to them whatsoever.
Excellent, as suspected. That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, apply with reassurance that your chickens won't be harmed at all.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
Too easy.
No worries.
Good on you, Carl. Let's head to Sandy, who's in Gosnell, also waiting patiently. G'day, Sandy. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
Hello, Sandy. What can we do for you?
Oh, I'm in desperate need of help because it looks like my lawn is covered in black mould.
It certainly is. So now, the big problem there is, so is that in a shady spot, Sandy?
Unfortunately, it doesn't get a lot of sun. It gets some sun, but minimal sun.
Okay. All right. Now, part of the problem, the reason you've got that black mold there is because of drainage. So there's two things that you need to do. You need to get a fork and fork all through there so you've got better drainage. You can top dress with a sand rather than a soil with sand. And then I would, in this spring, I would oversow with dichondra.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I thought I'd better get the expert advice.
Yeah. So because the ground can be quite hard in Gosnells in some of the areas, yeah, and in shady spots you'll get all those fungus that just love that kind of dark, shady, wet, compacted area. So deal with the compaction first, and you can even get a corer in, which you can hire from places, and deep core it, and then fill the core holes with sand, and then oversow it. Because if you oversow with the dichondria, I wouldn't do it now because they don't like winter, so wait until spring. That will at least absorb the moisture.
All right. And it get rid of that cooch or kaikui or whatever lawn.
Yeah, it looks like kike. Yeah. Well, the what'll happen is in spring and summer the dichondra will compete with that. So but you could dig that out before you put the dichondra down.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. No worries, Sandy.
You have a good weekend. Bye.
I shall.
Thanks, Sandy. Thanks, Tony, who sent a clarification. Rhino the Driller, who cheekily just quietly said, there's gardening in the Gentleman movie too. Tony's come back and said, yes, the gardening relates to growing tons and tons of that magic green herb.
Well, you know, it's horticulture, isn't it, really?
That's right. We'll go with that. Donna is in Mosman Park. Hello, Donna.
Oh, hello, ladies. I was just looking for some suggestions for a shade tree that I want to put in my backyard. It's on the northern side of our house, and actually we'll cop a fair bit of sea breeze as well as sun all year round, fairly exposed, really. So just kind of taking out some lawn and getting some more garden beds in, and just wanted to park a tree in the middle of it.
Yep. Do you want deciduous or evergreen?
Oh, thorn. I could probably go on evergreen, but deciduous might be nice just to get the warm sun onto those
windows. Yeah, you want the sun coming in. There's a lovely bohinia, as in B-A-U-H-I-N-I-A, bohinia. There's two different types. There's one bohinia blakeyana, and there's bohinia purpurea. So they call it the Hong Kong orchid tree.
Oh, yes.
Now, there's a school in Fremantle and they're using it all around the boundary. And I was interested to see how they would go because they're so close to the sea and they've got that delightful alkaline soil.
Yeah.
And they have done really well, Donna. They look fantastic, and they've got a very, you know, a dome shape to them, so they make a great shade tree.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, we've got a fair bit of limestone as well.
Yeah, so these are on Caprock limestone, and they've done really, really well.
Oh, that's a good idea, because that's us. We have to dig far to get a big bundy at our place.
Yep. So that would be my pick for you.
Cool. Thank you so much. That's great.
Okay.
Good on you, Donna. Thank you. Sab D would like to know how to get rid of an infestation of black jelly fungus on a cooch lawn.
Oh, that's amazing, that fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is actually a weed killer that knocks that off, and I'm writing it now.
Mickey's onto it.
Yeah. Yep. Because it's it kills weeds, but it kills that slime mold really effectively. So I'll put that up on the screen. Poor Mickey. Mickey, you'll get home by 12:30, I guarantee it.
Dee, just stand by. Mickey will get back in touch with you, whether that be by text or phone. I'm not sure. Phone call. But rest assured, you'll get the answer that you need from Sabrina. Robin in Kingsley, hello.
Oh, good morning, girls.
Morning.
Sabrina, I've got this beautiful Chinese tallow that was actually chock-a-block full of black scale on the leaves. It had grey crust on all the stems, and there was sort of a black, I call it sooty thing, all over the trunk and the ground. Now, I've pruned it really well. I've gurneyed it, got all the scale off and all the soot. Now, what I want to know is, when do I spray for scale? Like, do I wait till it's back in leaf again? Because I've had it for a couple of years on and off.
Yeah. So how long ago did you spray the oil and get rid of it, the scale?
Well, it didn't actually seem to do much. I did it through the summer, I think.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I haven't done it for a while.
I would definitely do it in September.
Yeah.
So the beginning of September, Robin.
Yeah.
So spray, and the leaf buds will just be coming out, and that's when the scale is going to come in with a vengeance. So wait until September and give it a good spray.
An oily spray.
Yeah, an oil spray. Oily. Yep.
Yeah, yep. And just once or?
Well, just spray once and see if there it depends on whether there's scale there or not. So you might need to have a look at a leaf and see if there is. You can't see much scale. You'll only need to do the one spray.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that should be enough to knock off the nymphs.
Beautiful. Okay, darling. Thank you so much.
Okay. No worries, very Robin. Helpful. Nothing. Thank you. Nothing you like knocking off a few nymphs, I say.
Oh, gosh, yeah, they look pretty bad. They've tarnished the pavers and everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible.
Yeah. No worries.
Anyway, give that a crack, Robin.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Robin. Thanks very much. Claire writes, hi, guys. Well, when would I feed figs, mulberry, apples, pears, locusts and plum trees, please?
Okay, figs, mulberries and plums you're not going to fertilise until August, September. Locusts, you can fertilize whenever you've got time. They don't care. Usually the beginning of winter. Pear trees, depending on when they fruit. So spring and summer for pear trees.
Okay. Beautiful. That looks good. Have I got any other quick, simple ones that I could maybe slip in before 10 o'clock?
Got 1 minute. What about a bottle brush tree that's dying at 18 years old? In Carnarvon. Now, we don't know. Basically, bottle brush trees are dying all over the place. We think it's a fungal disease. Tried everything, nothing you can do, unfortunately.
Oh, that's awful. We'll have to talk more about that maybe next Saturday. Yeah. Sab, have fun in Cal. You're there for another week. Will you be back in Perth next weekend or you –
Maybe.
We'll see how we go.
Depends how much more bitumen I find.
Of course. You have a wonderful time. Everyone at home, you enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of your school holidays. If you fall into that category, have a fabulous Saturday. It's now 10 o'clock.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.